Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollerin, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Brenda McCoy, and also known as Lady Brenda, and you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, we'll be talking to Krista Pinn, who will be speaking to us about amazing animal healers. Before we get started, though, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Maureen. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. Thank you very much, Lady Brenda.
So, Maureen, tell us about what you do.
Well, I do a lot of things. Well, in my work, what I do, I work at PsychicAccess.com with the rest of my co-host, and I'm an intuitive psychic empath. The empath part kind of makes me a little crazy, but I help people in a direction, and I utilize the tarot as that is my main tool, and I do find that there's a symbolic record of human experience, and they work very well for me, and I enjoy my work, and I put all I have into it, too.
And to coin one of your phrases, Maureen is a true authentic. She knows
you.
Her stuff.
Bless your heart. Thank you,
she
Brenda.
She really does. Thank you, Maureen. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Very well, thank you.
How's your new kitten? I creeped on your Facebook. I had to see him. Sorry.
He's great. He makes the other younger one look like an angel.
But he's into everything?
Yeah. I mean, even bags of coffee, anything. He's like a dog. Because he was a stray, so he's obviously gone without food. Anything you leave out, he just goes after. I woke up the other morning and found breadcrumbs all over the kitchen floor because he'd had a loaf of bread.
How sweet is that? Oh, how nice. So what do you do? Tell us about yourself, Steve.
Well, my name's Steve. I am a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. And I always saw people in spirits and interacted with them when I was a child. And as I grew up, I just became really keen to learn as much as I could about metaphysics. Meta just meaning beyond, so beyond physics or beyond the physical plane. And I really enjoy this field of work because I really like working with people and trying to decode things. So whether that's decoding a person's psyche or trying to understand the dynamic in a relationship or looking at world events, I find it fascinating.
Well, you'll like tonight's show because it's using astrology in kind of a different way. I mean, she'll be talking about how she uses it in regards to animals, and you're being an animal lover, I'm sure you're going to like that.
Yes, it sounds great.
And Bobby.
Hello.
How are you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing good. How are you?
You know what? I'm hanging in there. I really am. It's a beautiful day in California. Right,
it's
Californians?
Wonderful. It's been very wonderful, hasn't it? Like 70s and then 80s today.
Oh, my God. It's just, it's awesome. It really
Love
is.
It.
I have all the doors open.
Oh, shut up. So, sorry.
What do you have, gloom and raininess over there in Tennessee?
Bit of snow today. Bit of snow.
Yeah, Steve, your mic is on. We heard that.
Whatever. Oh, sorry, it's still on.
So, Bobby, tell us about your particular talents.
Psychic, medium, teacher. Being able to, you know, it's tuning into people's energy vibration. And one of the easiest ways to teach people how to do that or you know, that maybe kind of demystifies what we do is listening to somebody's vibration and then tuning into what they really feel. Like their words say one thing, but their feelings say another. And it's helping them recognize and be in touch with what's coming out, you know, the feeling or energy that they're putting out, and then kind of guiding them in a way that is beneficial for them to remove some of the limitations and things. So that's the psychic part. And then, of course, tuning into the other side like Steve does with talking to those loved ones who have crossed over.
And you're very talented. I can attest to it. I've seen Bobby in action.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bobby.
Do I throw that in?
Go ahead. Go throw something else in.
I said, and I juggle. And I play
you
the kazoo.
You juggle. I hope you don't cat juggle, because then I would have to just like reach through this computer and juggle you.
I didn't know if you wanted all my talents or not, or if I was
a juggler. That's interesting. Well, thank you, Bobby.
Sure.
And myself, I'm Lady Brenda McCoy, and I'm a predictive psychic, and I work with all you lovely people in psychicaccess.com, and I specialize in dates, times, and places. Tonight we have a very special guest, Krista Pinn. She's an astrologer and animal behavior specialist. Through a lifetime of working with animals, she's been able to channel their incredible gifts of healing to people in need. She's worked with therapy horses and most recently with service dogs trained to detect seizures, discovering an astrological breakthrough that identifies the talents of these very special service dogs. Krista uses her knowledge of astrology to select and work with therapy animals. These very special dogs and horses are trained to help people with disabilities, either physical or emotional. She brings out the compassion and unconditional love in these animals that they have to give, and teaches people how to bond with their service animals. Recently, she's been involved in selecting service dogs with people with epilepsy and helping them find just the right dogs that can detect their seizure in about 20 minutes before it occurs. For more information about Krista, visit her website at www.krystallyn.biz or www.animalcrackersmonthly.com. Hello and welcome, Krista.
Hi, Brenda. Can
nice
you hear me?
Nice to talk to you. Yes, I can hear you. You're coming in just loud and clear.
Okay, I'll try not to talk too loud. I've been told I have a loud voice.
That's okay.
I'm so excited to get to talk to you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, you have a special gift, and it's right along, you know, the line of what our listeners, you know, would like to hear about, because, you know, we don't do enough on the show about, you know, animal psychics and animal healers. We've had just a few things, and it's always very popular because, you know, people who are sensitive and tend to just love animals anyhow. So I'm going to start out with asking you, when did you notice your special connection with animals?
Well, it's really interesting, because when I was a young girl, I was diagnosed with very severe asthma at about 2 years old. And I was told, my parents were told, you know, wasn't allowed to be around animals, anything with dust, hair, stuffed animals, anything like that. And I was obsessed with animals. My mom could not keep me away from any type of animal. I would just go crazy as a young girl. And then as I got to be about 6 years old, I started bringing home all the stray dogs, hoping and begging that someday I'd get to keep one. As I continued treatment for my asthma and allergy shots over the years, I started to immunize myself. And the more actually that I was around animals, I started again to get stronger resistance to the allergies I was having, and was able to maintain them. And so my mom finally let me get my first little dog, little short-haired dog at 8 years old. And it just didn't stop there. I had iguanas and birds and turtles, but I was ultimately obsessed with horses. And at 13, I wrote up a business plan that my dad couldn't turn down. And I got my first horse at 13, and I've just gone crazy from there.
Boy, that sounds like such a parallel. That sounds like my life in a capsule too, asthma, the whole bit. Although there's been research recently, was on the internet, like everything, that if children are, and this has come recently now, that children that are introduced to, dogs or cats when they're really young do start to immunize themselves a little bit.
I really believe that that's true. And I think that the funny thing is, my first career, I ended up being a mobile pet groomer. So, and even my doctors would just laugh. They said, we just can't control you at all. I mean, how could you? But, I thought that if I could make them clean, then I could be around them. Because if they are cleaner, then obviously it's easier on people with allergies. So that was my mission in life.
To clean them.
Yep, I had to get them clean. Well, when I'd bring home all the stray dogs, I'd sneak them up the stairs across the green shag carpet before my mom could see it and get them into the bathtub. Because then I could convince her that I wasn't going to have a full allergy attack. So I tried every angle.
That's great. So you've been around animals a lot, and which way, how do you think that they communicate? If they have a unique way that they communicate with us physically, emotionally, and even mentally, what have you noticed in being around the animals, how they communicate with you, especially like dogs or horses?
Well, you might be surprised at my answer because I thought about that quite a bit. And when I first, like I said, at 20 years old, I went to dog grooming school, and then I started a mobile dog grooming business. And in that experience, I was working with a lot of senior citizens because at that time, those were the type of people that would call out a mobile service. And I started noticing that these dogs, many of them were the only comfort or companion to these senior citizens, were almost like looked like them and acted like them. It was really interesting. And because I was working in a one-on-one basis where I'd come to the home and then take the dog out by itself and then see the dog interact back with its owner, I started seeing some unusual things. And what I saw was that I believe the way that dogs communicate and horses is they mirror us. And what happens for a lot of people is they'll see something in their dog that they might think is disobedient or a problem, and they try to get rid of it. And they go to trainers, or they, try different techniques, and they think it's a problem when in actuality, the dog is actually mirroring a problem that they have. And if they would look within themselves, and whether it's anxiety, whether it's insecurity, whether it's anger, those things, your animal will reflect, and you'll see it in their behaviors. And instead of trying to fix the animal, if you'll start to look within yourself of how you're communicating in general, just the way you walk in the door when you come home from work, you start looking at how what you're doing around your pets, they will begin to calm down, and you will see a lot of those behaviors begin to subside if you're dealing with it. So what we think a lot of times is a bad thing is actually them speaking to us. They are like a vessel, and they can mirror us. And it's I saw that a lot because a lot of these little senior citizen ladies, they would have a lot of anxiety and different things, and these little dogs would just be emotional wrecks at times because the owner was putting all of their emotional and worries and everything, because they were alone, onto the pet.
And dogs and cats and even horses can take an awful lot of this. They're such great supports. Now, I have a question for you, and it has been something, because I know that we're going to talk about your astrological studies in a moment, because I know that you are an astrologer. And I have noticed with my own, I'll just take, for example, the horses that I've had in the past. It seems to me that all the show horses that I've had, all my best show horses, have been Aries. They just come out that way.
Interesting. Interesting. interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Do you believe that people bring to them the astrological signs of the animals that they need, that are compatible or that will teach them something?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you shared that, because that is true. And depending on what your chart is and the different planets, you can have connections. You obviously, just a little bit I know about you, are a strong businesswoman. You are very intuitive. You're a very strong woman, just your presence alone. Well, when you look in the zodiac and you look at an Aries, they're ruled by Mars, and they are very strong, and they're very independent. So it makes sense that you are going to be attracted to animals like that, and they are going to be attracted to you because you're such a strong leader. And animals that have a lot of strong, powerful energies need a very strong leader. So I think, you know, and what would be interesting is if, you know, I could get some of those birthdays, if you have any of them, you know, even if we don't have the time, I can still do quite a bit and actually do your chart and your dog or horse's chart. And I can really give you a lot of insight. It's fun.
That is really, that's something that not a lot of people think about, because, you know, I think about it because I know the astrological signs of all my pets because I'm into it, but it would really help people to know that, you know, in choosing a pet too, don't you think? Like if they're going to choose a pet.
Well, absolutely. In fact, I'll tell you just a quick little story. My husband and I were talking about this morning. He used to raise beagles and would do the field trials. He was telling me about a dog that was one of his best dogs. And so I asked him if he remembered the birthday. Well, he did, because his name was Spooky and his birthday was October 31st. And he remembered the year. So we looked up his chart. Well, interestingly enough, this dog had like 4 placements in Scorpio. And he was one of the best dogs. He was one of the most beautiful dogs. And nobody could compete with this dog. But about 2 to 3 years old, he started changing and becoming a little more aggressive. And he started having a difficult time letting him out with the other dogs because he got so competitive. And then he wanted to, you know, he was so athletic and so able to, you know, basically they go find the bunny. They track the bunny. He would miss his steps because he already knew ahead of time where that bunny was. And, you know, unfortunately, when they're judging that, they want him to be really detailed. And he was just smarter than all the other dogs. But he started getting aggressive. And I asked him if he would have known somebody like me that could have said, all right, this dog is loaded with powerful energy. You know, then you could maybe work with the training a little different. You might have to keep him away from other dogs, or maybe he would have been better suited to be a hunting dog instead of a tracking dog. But instead, he didn't know what to do with them. And yet he said he was one of the most incredible dogs, the finesse that he had. And that, you know, and interestingly enough, that is a sign of Scorpios. You know, they're very powerful and they don't miss anything.
What now?
So I think it makes sense. We can maybe see what's going on with them. Now, this doesn't take away good training. I believe that we still need to invest in somebody that's helping us learn to communicate with our animals, because we have to know how they see things. We can never expect an animal, a horse, a dog, or any animal to see through our eyes, because the one thing that they don't have is that ability to reason like we do. We have a different intellect than them. And they feel and they sense things, and they can almost see in pictures, is what I believe. And we can project things onto them. So, for example, you know, in riding horses, if any of you guys out there have ridden horses, if you're riding down the road and you start to imagine that you could fall off and your heart starts pounding, just kind of having that image, you might notice within a few seconds your horse starts to get jumpy and spook, because you're sending down that picture to them, even if they had no intention at all of missing a beat. But as a rider, sometimes we'll project negative thoughts onto them, and then they have to interpret them. and they don't have the reasoning ability to interpret them. So that's why a lot of times you get a lot of confusion in your communication with animals, because they're trying to read our emotions and they don't have the ability to say, hey, what's going on? Did you have a bad day? You know, they're just trying to figure it out, and they're in the moment. They're in the moment. They forgive really easy. That's why they can handle so much. So, you know, they're amazing creatures that, you know, can do amazing things.
So, tell us a little bit about the therapy animals. Now, these are, I know that these are special animals, and they come from all ages, and like for the dogs and the horses, and that even now they're having little minis that are become therapy animals. They're the way that they help bond with these people. I'm especially interested in the whole thing with the seizures and the early detection. Tell us about your work astrologically and how you're able to figure out, you know, which would be the best dogs for this.
Okay, yeah, I would love to. Well, let me tell you just a little bit about how I came upon this. I've obviously been studying astrology and charts, and I just have a type of mind. I mean, this is my enjoyment, but I like to go on and look at famous people, famous baseball players, maybe even people with, you know, different mental disorders that we know about, and see if there's any threats, like any common planets that you see amongst that. And a lot of times I'll find some really interesting things. And so I had a dear friend of mine that I've known for over 20 years. Her daughter has suffered with epilepsy, and I've just watched their whole life, to be honest, just be in a prison. The mother, you know, she's worried to let her daughter, who's 37 years old, go out even to dinner with her friends. And also, you know, her friends, as her seizures got worse, they began to become afraid of her. She couldn't keep her jobs, because you never know when one of these are going to happen. And it's so devastating. I mean, you can fall on the ground, you can hit your head, you can really injure yourself. And so they ended up, after all these years of battling with it, finding out about, through their doctor, about maybe getting a service dog. And when you go to get a service dog, you know, the service dog organization is going to try to match you. But there's no sure way that it's going to work out. Sometimes they'll go through different dogs. And she had gone through several dogs that just weren't working out for what she needed. There's also no way to know if the dog is going to have the unique ability to read seizures 20 minutes before they happen. What you can do is you can train a dog to, you know, there you can mimic or simulate a seizure, and that dog can recognize it's a seizure, and then it can alert for help. That's one part that could help somebody with epilepsy. But to be honest, you know, that's not of as much value as a dog that knows you're going to have a seizure and can lean on you, can tell you to sit down and get you in a safe place. That's what we need. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's no way to predict if the dog's going to have the gift. And so they ended up matching her with this dog just after several dogs didn't work out. They told her to go walk around out in the parking lot. And as she was walking around out in the parking lot, the dog began to look up at her, to make eye contact with her, to start to lean on her, to start to push on her. And the founder said to her, you know what? You're going to have a seizure. And everybody was just in shock, because they just couldn't believe this was actually going to be happening and that this dog could be alerting. And the dog was alerting. She sat down. Sure enough, within 20 minutes, she had a very severe seizure right there in the parking lot. And that's when they just went, oh my gosh, this dog alerts. This dog has this gift. They didn't even know the dog had the gift. So in my Animal Crackers Monthly, my little video magazine where I do educational video stories, I asked them if I could do a story on them. And as I began to do the story, I just couldn't get it out of my mind. Why is this the only dog out of all the dogs that had come through this program with this ability? And so I decided when I got home to see what they knew what her birthday was. And I opened up the chart and my mouth just hit the floor because this dog is loaded with Pisces. She is a Pisces sun, a Pisces moon, Pisces Mercury. She's Jupiter's in Pisces, and so is Uranus. So if you know anything about Pisces, these are people born from February 21st to like March 20th, right in there. They are the most psychic and intuitive of all the zodiac, and they have the ability to read into the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension, in terms of what I'm talking about, is the ability to read vibrations, energies, emotional, anything, you know, predictive. You may not always know what you're reading if you have fear of Pisces, but you have this ability. Well, when you look at a chart like this and you see five planets lined up, that's like a power pack. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't get, it just amazed me that could this be a coincidence? Could this be something? There was 12 dogs that came through this particular session of program. They do about 12 dogs every 6 months. They finish. It takes 2 years to develop a service dog. So once they come through, out of the 12 dogs, this was the only one who had it. And this is the only one who had this chart because I was able to get access to the other charts. So it got me thinking. And what I started thinking about was, how often would we have a lineup like this? If you know anything about astrology, every year it's a different lineup. Very rarely do you have one of these lineups where you'll see your sun, moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars all lined up in one planet. It's a really a rare phenomenon. And so I started, and sometimes it could happen every 5 years, every 10 years, you know, you just don't know when. You've got to really sit and get your calculator out and see when it's going to happen. And so I decided to look, when is this going to happen again? Because she was born in 2010, and it did not happen in 2011. It did not happen in 2012. Well, guess what? This phenomenon is happening right now as we speak.
The pups that will be born in this next in a litter around the same time could be matched theoretically.
Right. They could potentially have this psychic ability. Now, what this gives us is a tool. Instead of waiting 2 years to find out if a dog has it or doesn't have it, how can you know if he has it or does not have it unless you put him with a person with epilepsy and you test it? Well, usually they're not. It takes about 2 years to go through this whole training process before they're even being tested. And so what happens is, these people with epilepsy are getting these dogs and then they're not working out. They're not able to do it. What if we had a way that we could predict which dogs typically are going to have this unique ability before they're even born? If my theory is true, then we may have a tool to take a whole calendar year and pick out the best dates for these intuitive dogs. So what that means is, that right now, from February 26th to March 10th, Pisces is lining up in all five planets. Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars. All astrologers everywhere are talking about this great phenomenon. Now, I feel like it's the best year to test this theory. Because I have one success story to say it is absolutely true here. What I've been doing through a video that I put out and through talking, I've been talking to different breeders across the country that have dogs that have this ability, and they have been sending me these dogs' birthdays so I can test this theory on not just one dog, but on many dogs. And guess what I'm finding out? They have Pisces and they have another planet. They have Cancer. Hmm. Cancer is ruled by the moon, which is your second most highly intuitive and psychic planet. You have your water signs,
and nurturing, and nurturing as well.
Yes. So we may have 2 months out of the year that really give these dogs this ability. Now, just to say, with each year changing and not having this huge power punch like we are going to have it this year, that doesn't mean each year we won't have lineups. It might be two or three planets, and that might even be enough. That's what I need. That's what I am trying to research right now. What planets are the most powerful to give these dogs this gift?
Or the combinations of the planets and even the aspects as well.
Yes. Yes. It gets a lot deeper than kind of what we're talking about right now. Since you know about astrology, you know what I'm talking about. We do. We have to look at the aspects. And a lot of these dogs, now what's great about working with breeders across the country sending me these birth dates is a lot of them have the time. So I can also look at the rising sign, the ascendant, and kind of, you know, look at personality and different things as well. So it's kind of exciting, I think.
That's very exciting. It could transfer to therapy horses as well. I know they're using therapy horses for people who have, MS and stuff, muscular, those types of, all types
Absolutely.
Of things, injuries, spinal cord injuries.
Yes, yes. And autism. Autism is fantastic. I worked with a lot of autistic kids. I had a horse riding program where I worked with a lot of kids for over 10 years. And that's what I did is I would take these old retired horses. I wish I knew what I knew now, because that would have really aided me in knowing these horses' characteristics even better. Fortunately, being an animal behaviorist, I knew them intuitively myself. But having the astrological lineup to back up my thinking would have really just helped that. But I was able to match them with kids, and certain horses got along with certain kids. And so, it was really a unique situation where I saw a lot of growth in these young girls' lives because of these horses.
Did you happen to watch during the Olympics, the Special Olympics, the dressage?
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. There was some people, and they had physical and mental disabilities, and these horses completely took care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was some that didn't. There was one woman who didn't have legs.
Wow. I think I've seen her. I've actually followed her Facebook page. I know you're talking about. Yeah, it's amazing. This is a time in our life. I think that, we had a period of time that the natural horsemanship concept came through over the last 15 years. And it really opened up a new world to people working with horses, because instead of the old cowboy way, now we started, everybody could learn this wonderful communication with horses and what people are doing with them now and with the Mustangs and with, like you said, the therapy, the miniature horses. Those are things we're doing because of this movement of natural horsemanship.
And they're choosing those miniature horses now because their lifespans are longer than dogs.
Yes, that's a really good point. That's a great point. You're right. And they're longer than even regular horses. I mean, they'll live at 45, 50 compared to, about 25, 30 for an average horse.
Well, I just had one that exited my little small ranch at 37.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And that was a full-grown horse.
This was an old thoroughbred mare. She was on two legs.
Wow.
At the end.
Well, this you were doing is, something right.
This is really...
Are you there?
I don't hear. I can
still
hear you.
No, I'm still. Yeah, this is really fascinating. Tell us a little bit about some of these videos and the stuff that you're doing for Animal Crackers Monthly.
Okay, well, what I basically am doing, I went back to school at 44 years old. I'm a student at Full Sail University in the creative writing degree program. I'm working on a book and basically telling my life story of working with animals. I had this ranch, like I said, that I worked with horses and kids. I built it from the ground up, and it just changed my life. The stories that I have of what these horses and did for these kids and did for me and did for so many lives, these stories are just incredible. And I just believe they need to be told. And I'm working on that through a book, but I'm also working on that through my video blog. where you can go on there. My videos are anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, and I give some instructions. I also have some other stories of other people with animals giving instructions. They're very educational. They're very soothing. They're very calming. I talk about my perspectives, and there's just so many things you can learn from the video blog.
Well, we want to hear some of your amazing stories about animal healers, but we're going to take a short commercial right now, okay?
Okay, absolutely.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, we're back with Krista Pinn, and she was just about to tell us some of the amazing animal healing stories. So, Krista, are there some special animals that just kind of pop out at you, and you could give us some stories about, you know, some of the things they did to help people with their own personal healing?
Oh, yeah. I think I could come up with something for you. Right off the top. I'm thinking back to a little girl that was one of my students. She actually came for riding lessons with a friend of hers. And the interesting thing was her friend was very confident and dragged her with her to come to these riding lessons. Well, her friend kind of dwindled away, and this girl kept coming for lessons. But the interesting thing about this girl, she was about 11, she never talked. She didn't even talk at home. Her shyness was almost just debilitating to her life. And even her parents were like, we don't know what to do with her. She's a beautiful young girl. But she just couldn't, she just loved the horses. And she came every week for her lesson. And I didn't know how I was going to communicate with her because she literally would not look you in the eyes. But as soon as you would put her up on the horse, you would just see her countenance change. And I wasn't sure what kind of horse I could put with this girl, because if I gave her a horse that was, you know, too fast or too much, it might really set her back because she just wasn't communicating. So I pulled out an old faithful horse of mine named Jenny, and she was just down the middle, just very confident. She was a leader, but she just listened to her rider. And this girl and Jenny I began to work with them, and pretty soon she began to ask me questions. She wanted to know the deeper things about riding. This gal ended up riding with me for about 5 years, ended up being one of my instructors, ended up learning to ride every horse I had on the ranch. Her parents couldn't believe the radical change in her life. They said, we can't even shut her up now. She was just a completely different kid at school. And that may sound really simple. That may sound like not such a big deal. But when, you know, the look on that little girl's face, the fear in her face when she first came, and what that horse did for her, picking the right horse, a horse that she could build her confidence on, and seeing her come out of her shell over the years and end up being a top instructor working with other kids, is to me just a miraculous story of, you know, nobody else could reach this girl, but this horse did. And, you know, and this is where having the ability to work with horses and people, being sensitive to them, which I was fortunate that I learned to be very sensitive and slowly get, you know, build her confidence. But it was just a neat, and now she just went to college. She still keeps in touch with me. And she's going to some big animal science college, and she's just doing amazing. So it just continues to, that those 5 years just continue to be powerful in her life.
What a great story. What was the astrological sign of Jenny?
You know what? I do not have that. And that's why I wish that I would have known this back then. But I do know that my dear little friend Tori was a Pisces. And interestingly enough, because I, you know, I'm a Virgo sun, for anybody who is interested in knowing. But I am a Pisces rising and a Pisces moon. And, you know, they're the opposite of the zodiac. So can you imagine being a perfectionist, but then living in circles? So it's like perfect circles. it's very chaotic in my mind at times. But when I use these gifts together, I think that's why I was so attracted to this dog, because she's got all of this Pisces. And this little friend of mine who was a Pisces, I didn't know at the time why I understood how she felt, because I've been a pretty confident person all my life, so I didn't deal with shyness. But my Pisces, that Pisces allows us to actually feel what other people are feeling, and that is a gift of that. So I end up having, my husband's a Pisces, all my best friends are Pisces, you know, because of my rising and my moon sign, I'm drawn to Pisces.
That is so interesting. Now that you mention that, you talk about your rising. If I think about the animals and the people in my life, they're mostly fire sign, and my rising sign is Leo.
Oh yeah.
So I have a lot of fire. Now, so this even transfers into like problem animals. You know, if somebody comes to you with a problem animal, we talked a little bit in the beginning of the show about that, but maybe I can use, for example, my greyhound when I got him, and I know what month he was born in, but you don't know the exact date because you can't get it. So I think he's either a Gemini or a Taurus.
Okay.
He's right in there. It has literally taken him. He's been with me for 8 years now. It's taken that long to come out of his shell after being a working dog.
Yeah. See, now, he would be really interesting if we obviously knew the other signs, but let's just take that particular, let's just say he's even close to the cusp in there, you know, if we were trying to get a picture of him. Gemini being ruled by Mercury, that's a lot of nervous energy. It's a lot of energy that he probably deals with inside. Now, he could have a moon sign, he could have something that, you know, doesn't allow him to express that very well. So it's kind of like the outside of you looks like you're okay. But if you have any Gemini or anything like that in there, you know, you've got a lot of energy. Your mind's going 100 miles an hour. That's why this becomes really exciting when I can get a birth date on a pet and their owner. That's basically what I'm doing, is the consultation. It's a 1 hour consultation on the phone. And I take your animal's birth date and I take yours, and we work together. And then with my animal experience, I'm able to kind of guide different behavioral ideas, you know, or at least guide you in a direction to where you could get some help if you need it. But
and that comes in handy with people who have problem dogs and, you know, other animals that they just can't figure out.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of people, I've got friends, they're not married, their animals are their kids. That's their family.
Yes, they're everything. I just did a chart the other day of a lady, and her horse had triple Gemini. And I did the chart. You know, I have a whole thing that I do, but it's not just like you can read it like a human chart. You have to interpret it through the animal's eyes. And that comes with my experience of working with horses and animals. But I got this picture through everything I was reading that this horse had some real nervous energy, and maybe he was a cribber or a pacer or different things like that. And sure enough, when I sent her, I did a write-up for her, she couldn't believe it, because the horse had been a cribber, been a pacer. I said, you know, you need to get this horse out in the pasture. You need to get him out. Everybody wants to put him in a small box stall and make him real fluffy and comfortable. their horses. They need to get out and move. And so she made that change. The pacing's completely calmed down. Cribbing's hard to get rid of forever, but it's calmed down. And it was just seeing that this horse had so much mercury going on, you know, that influence. And I wouldn't have, you know, I couldn't have told her that across the country, you know, but by looking at the chart, I can see what kind of energies these animals are having to work with. So
that's interesting. That's really interesting. And the whole mirroring of the personalities, that does happen over time. I've got a dog that smiles, and we actually taught her to smile. She mimics smiling. We smiled at her, and she smiled back. And now you say to her, Nikki, give us a smile, and she gives you a big one.
Aww.
Well, she'll even smile when she's in trouble.
Yeah, that's such an awesome example. That is such proof right there, because they are looking. You know, I've seen that a lot with people. I've had, you know, people have come to me that are older, not just the kids that I've worked with their horses. And I had a lady one time that was really battling with some anger, and she just felt like her horse needed to be obedient no matter what. And I was trying to show her that her horse was confused in her communication. It wasn't that he was being disrespectful. He literally didn't understand what she was saying. And her anger was just so frustrated because she wanted to look good. You know, we want our animals to make us look good. And kind of like our kids, you know, we take them out when they're not behaving. They, you know, people sometimes feel embarrassed. But you can't bring that ego to your animals. It's not fair to them. They don't live with that kind of ego, especially people who ride horses. And you have to realize that, you know, you're a partnership. And we went around and around and around, and I just finally kept looking at her and saying, until you let go of your anger, this problem is not going to go away. And you won't be able to see what it is you need to offer your horse with anger blinding you. And this ego of, you know, like this dominant, I'm going to control you. Because horses are prey animals. We are predatory. So they, again, are interpreting control as being a predator. It doesn't mean we aren't to be good leaders, but good leaders are fair. And that's some of the stuff that I'm teaching through my video blog, through Animal Crackers Monthly. You'll see videos that talk about those things and how to work within ourselves, get ourselves right. Even breathing around an animal properly. You know, if you're going to saddle a horse, that you time yourself with their breathing and you slow yourself down. So many people have problems saddling their horses because they're nervous and they're trying to make it super tight, and they're afraid it's going to fall off. And all of those feelings are rooted in fear. And now you're going to take something and put it on a horse, tighten as you can in the most vulnerable area of their body, and expect they're not going to start wiggling around or setting back or biting you because you're threatening them. And it doesn't have to be a bad experience if we'll just, sometimes it's as simple as just slowing down and taking a breath and being in the moment. So if you're getting ready to go saddle your horse and all your friends, you're getting ready to go on a ride, as humans, we're thinking about getting out there with our friends. And that might be 15 minutes away. And so we're bringing the anxiety of the future to the moment. And the horse doesn't understand we're going to go on a trail ride. He's right there in the moment. So just as simple as when you're around your animals, be in the moment. Just bring the emotions of the moment, the feelings of the moment. Because if you bring, it's as simple as if you're going to take your dog to the vet and you're getting ready to put him in the car. Well, of course, we're going to start feeling nervous because that brings anxiety to us to take our animal to the vet. Just what's going to happen? How are they going to feel? You know, all of those things. You have to get emotional control of yourself working with around animals and be in the moment. Reassure them before you get in the car. Slow down. Reassure them while you're in the car. Reassure them while you walk through the door. Reassure them while you're waiting. It's slow it down in small pictures. That's how animals see things. When you do that, it's amazing how they will calm down and start to listen to you and look to you for reassurance. And you'll have a completely different animal just by making that one simple change.
Well, what about cats, though? Cats are different. They're so independent.
You
what
know,
has been your experience
with
cats?
I wonder if they're not a lot more intuitive than we ever give them credit for. I think they're little messengers. I really do. But you know, they have their own thing going on. But you know, people who have cats and love cats know the bond that can be there. And I had a cat one time, and my son was a teenager, and one night he came in, and I was giving him the mom act because he was late. And, you know, we're arguing back and forth. This cat jumped on my lap because she thought she didn't like that I was arguing with my son. And she's meowing and trying to get my attention and trying to stop it. And she was just really upset. And I finally, she got my attention. We both actually started laughing. It kind of lightened the moment. But I thought, wow, I've never had a cat try to talk to me like that. And she did not like that. The atmosphere was upsetting at that moment. So I think if we just listen more, a lot of times we don't listen and we miss them trying to tell us things.
Well, we have set ourselves apart from the animal kingdom. Mm-hmm. And if this is the ancients were a lot closer, I think, and they revered them. You know, even as gods, like especially in ancient Egypt and places like that. But there's just so much in this modern world of, you know, we're always in a hurry and we're dominating and we're telling them what to do and we're mm-hmm. shoving them here and shoving them there and not seeing them as the incredible beings and the incredible healing beings that they are. You know, they've been known, I mean, they bring down people's blood pressure, everything. They say that people who have pets live longer.
Yes. Oh, I agree. That is such a perfect point. Well, think about, you know, even X amount of years ago, people rode horses for their survival. And these horses were out in large pastures. There wasn't Mack trucks driving down the road. They weren't put in horse trailers. They weren't, you know, these horses were worked every single day. So people rode for a different reason. They rode to feed their families. They rode with intention. And the horses love when you ride with a purpose. Now you take our day and age, we ride as a hobby. We ride for entertainment. We see these horses as, you know, almost some type of, you know, trophy to represent us. You know, that's, you know, the world that we see around us. So now, instead of riding for survival and having a bond that could save your life at any given time that you have to have, we're riding to show everybody how great we are. And think about that's bringing that ego into it. And I just can't emphasize enough. Even if you show horses, I love to show horses. I have done so many awesome things with horses. I'm not against any of those things. But I just feel strong that you have to go, whatever you're doing with your animal, whether it's your dog, your horse, they're your partner. They didn't ask to be put in that situation. This horse did not ask to live the life we're putting it in. He is really a victim of what we desire. Now, does that mean that's bad? No, it just means that we need to respect them more. We need to respect the gift that they give us, that we can desensitize them to our world and they will do amazing things for us instead of be mad at them. Or, you know, you go to these environments where you see shows and people are hitting their horses and jerking on their chains and because they're mad that the horse is not performing. And I just look in shock because I think the fact that we're all even here enjoying these wild 1,000-pound prey animals in this kind of capacity, and they're willing to do what they do for us, we should just be in awe. We should be very humble of the gift we have with these animals. You know.
Well, you're making me feel guilty. I better go down and ride tomorrow.
I don't want to do that. I've done those things. I was trained those ways, and this is the process of the things I've done.
Well, thank you, Krista. We've come to the end of the interview, and I could sit here and talk to you for hours, I'm sure. But I just want to thank you for coming on the show. You'll have to keep us updated on some of the stuff that's going on.
And if it's okay if I say, if anybody ends up with contact with these dogs during these dates, throw me an email. I'm looking for people to help me in this research right now. And also remember, I don't want everybody to go run out and think, everybody go get one, because they're going to be very, very sensitive dogs that need to be handled in a very, very sensitive way with the right type of training. They cannot go in high stress, chaotic environments, because these dogs are going to be so intuitive. So, you know, I just want to make that little disclaimer, this, you know, but if you do end up with one, or you have a litter, and you notice anything that I'm talking about, please contact me for my research so that I can, you know, I can track every type of, you know, every dog during these next 3 weeks that I can.
That sounds great. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to give out your information again. You know, for anybody out there who wants to make contact with Krista Pinn, visit her website at www.crystallyn.biz, crystallyn.biz, or...
Two N's. crystallyn.biz.
Okay, two N's.
Yes.
www.animalcrackersmonthly.com. Either they could find you either place, right?
Either place, and crackers is with a K. So I'm all over the place. You can see my videos, and you can check me out if you have any questions about this or your dogs. I'm open for consultations, and you can email me. I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you very much, Krista. You have a great evening.
Oh, thank you, Brenda. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Krista's contact information is on the guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com, and it's Krista Lynn with two N's and Animal Crackers with a K. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce a call-in number later in the show, not now, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our last week's show, Business and Spirituality, which was an awesome show, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share this link with others. And visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything under the sun, from the paranormal, reincarnation, to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from some of the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, and each one of them has their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you so that you can find out more about them and choose them from a list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There is something, I believe, for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, the call-in number for at the end of the show is 724, the second half of the show, 724-444-4851. Well, everybody, what do you think of that topic? Animal lovers out there. Steve? I'm going to pick on Steve because he's the cat man.
Well, I think it's interesting. You can use astrology to get insight into anything, whether it's an event or an organization, a campaign, or the psyche of any being, in one of my astrology classes, I put a chart up, and I have the class analyze the chart in detail, and then I ask them who this is, and they say who they think it is, but the answer is, well, it's a slug, because that's, you can't tell from a natal chart how evolved the entity is. So you, there are my cats running around, actually, you might hear them. You can't tell how evolved the entity is. You can't tell whether it's human or a cat or a dog. So just a natal chart doesn't show you evolution. But you can use it to understand the psyche of any entity, whether it's an animal entity or not.
Have you picked your cats for their signs, or they picked you? Well, cats usually pick their people.
Yeah, I mean, I trust that spirits send what we need. They're four very unique characters, that's for sure. Two of them I don't know when they were born because they're strays, or they were. They're a lot of fun. They keep the house busy. And I live alone, so I find them great company.
So they're your children, right?
Yeah, they're my kids.
What are the signs of the two that you know of?
I don't know. Honestly, don't know. I know they were born, I think they were born in the springtime. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I remember flying from India with a wicker basket to collect them. But I don't remember when they were born. They were given to me as a gift. And I did email my friend and ask her if she knew their birth date and time, because I wanted to do their charts, but she never responded. I think she just thought I was joking, but I wasn't.
What about you?
Because you can understand the life events as well, so you can look at predisposition towards illness and things like that.
That's important too, especially if you're, you know, well, if they're like your children and they're like anybody else in your family. I mean, you'd like to know what could be around the corner for them. I would love to be able to do the chart of my greyhound, but I don't have enough information. I mean, I only know the year he was born and what month he was born, but I don't know the date. And you need a lot more information for that.
Yeah, you need the date and the location, and then the time determines the phasing of the houses.
You could probably find out placements of their planet if you just knew their birth date. Correct?
Yeah, you can see which planets are under which signs of the zodiac, but you can't determine the houses.
No. Mm-mm.
And you look at the first and sixth houses to understand health, but you can calculate a person's predisposition towards illnesses, and you can calculate when it would occur, unless it's averted.
So the first and the sixth houses, and for those people listening who don't know what those houses represent, can you tell us?
Well, the first is a person's physical body and personality, or outward personality, what we portray to the outer world. And the sixth house is health and employment. So if a person becomes ill, we expect to see what we call major progressed aspects to the first house, the ruler of the first house, the physical body, and to the sixth house, the state of health. That's in Hermetic astrology. I'm a Hermetic astrologer.
Very fascinating. I wonder why we keep... It just seems like astrology is a very fascinating subject, and it seems like we're having an awful lot of shows on it. They're just finding us.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's partly because I read books that on astrology, and then think, I have to contact this person, the writer.
So you're the one that's sending out the vibes.
Well, I think I've done a couple of astrology shows. I'm not sure if anyone else has. You know, I'm a big fan of astrology, but also of tarot.
Yeah, I did one. I think that, we've had quite a few, but it's such an endless subject that it can be applied to so many things. Hopefully we'll get one on medical astrology.
We can do that, yeah. The guy I've got in March, Dr. Gibson, he was a top psychiatrist, he is a top psychiatrist in the US, and he's also an astrologer, and he does fascinating work on spiritual and psychic abilities, and also things like mental illness, how to identify mental illness in a chart, how to identify psychic ability or healing ability. His work is very, very interesting. It's very in-depth, but it's fascinating stuff.
Well, in the Renaissance era in the 17th century, herbalism, the medical astrology was part of herbalism. You ever read Culpeper?
No, I've heard of Culpeper, but no, I haven't read yet.
Yeah, Nicholas Culpeper. You will love it. It's right up your alley, honey.
I'll make a note of that. You see, the planets and the signs of the zodiac correlate to colors and musical notes or tones, places, climates, herbs, flowers. So if somebody's got an affliction to a particular planet or sign of the zodiac, then you can prescribe the remedy, and the remedy would be anything that resonates to the remedial planet or sign, including...
Interesting.
Yep.
We're going to have to delve into that one day. Maureen, thank you, Steve.
Yes. Hello, Brenda.
So, what did you think about animal healers?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. You know, I have a lot to say about this, but I have epilepsy. Okay, here's another thing you don't know. I have epilepsy. Everybody knows my personal business, but it hasn't been so bad. But it was real bad in my younger years and into my 30s. And when she was talking about, and I did see some information a long time ago. I saw some documentary about dogs for people that I didn't have the grand mal ones. But what I did have going on was pretty scary when it happened, because like she brought up, and it is, you get an aura when right before a seizure comes on. It's like this, your aura, the psychic feeling is just phenomenal. It comes over you, and I know that some people that have the dogs, they're trained for this. They'll alert the person, because I did not know at the time. I tried to run for it, so I'd always fall or hit my head, or one time I ran towards a car. And you're supposed to be able to, you need to put yourself down and just be still. And I had Mariah as a baby, and I felt one coming on. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm with my daughter by myself, what am I going to do? And I just remembered my therapist had told me, just put yourself on something and just be still and ride it out. But the first thing you want to do when something like that happens is run for help.
Run from the pain, or run from
whatever's the experience of what's happening to you. You know, it's like, it's hard to explain if it was happening to you. Yeah, like run. It's like running from something that you are fearful, because you don't. It's a very interesting. You know, epilepsy is a fascinating thing. They don't know why people have it or what this situation is, but because of my intuitive empath ability, anyway, it was intense when I felt like I could not take any direction. But the only direction to take was to do nothing. Is really what it was. But what she was saying about like when they had the dog would help the person, like move the person with that grandma, but would take them and put them and make them still. You know what I mean? Like
put them down. Like
put them down. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why, like I said, I ended up getting a very good therapist later, and that's what her advice was to me, even though I didn't have her pushing me down. But like with having a child, and sometimes when I was driving, this would happen. And so I would know.
Scary.
It's very scary. But, you can feel it before the major thing comes on. And so I began to notice, okay, I'm not going to try to think I can handle this. I would pull over. It didn't happen all the time driving, but now once in a while. I would pull over, and I always kept a bag in my car to breathe into, too, as well. But, paper bags, I'm crazy. No. But also I wanted to point out, it's interesting because besides that, I think it's great for medically or for helping people. And she even said depression. I can understand that. But I had this dog. Well, it was like a dog, my best friend. She was in England all the time. So my daughter and I lived together with my friend Leona, all women, and Gandalf. So you can imagine Gandalf is his name. And this dog was Leona's child. It was, but she's the godmother of my child. She would be gone in England for like 6 months at a time. So it was basically our dog. We lived together. So this dog was a puppy. We would raise this dog. And I'll tell you something, this dog... And it was half a Kia, half German Shepherd, okay? So this dog had the run of the house anyway. It was spoiled. But besides that, the jealousy that went on between my daughter, she was like 5 at the time. Gandalf had this jealousy about when Leona came back in town, or if I was paying too much attention to Mariah. I mean, he wouldn't want to eat her, but let's put it this way. He would get very angry with Leona or I, or anything to do with what we loved. Like our, like for instance, Leona had some beautiful things that from Victoria's Secret she bought to take to England because she, you know, married someone there later. That dog got into her drawers, took her best panties and bra, ran downstairs and started ripping them apart in the yard and dirt and filth. I mean, all. And then one time Mariah was not happy with Mariah, so went over to take Mariah's homework, got into the, I mean, almost like this dog, like, oh my God. And you know, the dog has now since died and is in England. But I mean, really, I watched this. I go, is this for real? I'm not kidding you. And I'm not, I can't say some of the other things because they're kind of private what things Gandalf went for mine when he would get pissed. And we'd have to speak in a man tone for him to have any respect for us.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, it was really trippy.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
When my dog gets mad at me, she takes my shoes. She doesn't shoot them up anymore, but she'll take it and she'll hide one shoe and you'll never be able to find the rest.
But, you know, it's funny. That dog knew exactly that certain things for each of us that were important. So I started putting things up way high. I mean, like homework for Mariah was important. Bras and panties for Leona that she was taking to England with her, they were brand new, were important. For me, there were a couple other things that I won't say what they were, but that dog was really smart.
Inquiring minds want to know. No, that's okay. Keep it private.
I will.
Oh, funny. Well, I'm going to announce the number one more time. And Maureen, maybe you can put it in the chat room. 724-444-4851. If you would like a reading at the end of our sparring or kibitzing session. Okay, Bobby, we know you've got animals. We want to know about your animals and your interaction and what you think about that and your work.
Well, yeah, animals just live so much in the flow of everything, and they're so healing. I love when people take their animals and dogs and stuff. You know, I sing at the senior center up the street, and oftentimes I go there, and there's people who bring their dogs in and such. And, you know, it's dogs and babies that the elderly. And this is a place where, you know, there's dementia, there's memory loss, Alzheimer's, and yet a furry critter shoots right past all of that and really relaxes and helps to soothe and heal. I've had dogs just about all my life and can't see my life without one. My little guy just turned 17.
Oh, wow.
I have video of him just last week, but I mean, it was just last night even that, I mean, he's running all over the place. You know, I do Reiki on him quite often, and I had a Cocker Spaniel that lived until about 18. And, you know, it's funny because you and I know how the world works, and people are so amazed, right? They're like, I don't understand. How does he have so much pep? You know, he acts like a puppy. Mm-hmm. He's jumping on his back legs, and he's sprinting down the sidewalk. And they're like, I'm just so surprised. And, you know, I just think to myself, I'm not. You know, it's just love in a way. And he'll go when he's ready to go. But I love the idea especially, and I met somebody at your friend at George's place when I was up there doing a gallery. Since my son was recently diagnosed with diabetes, there was somebody there who also had diabetes, but she had an alert dog for diabetes and says it's more accurate than the pump was. I had heard about the epilepsy or seizures and heart attacks and strokes and how dogs can alert you to that, but I had not even thought about diabetes. And it does have a smell to it, the diabetes. It would come out, I don't want to be gross, but in my son's urine it came out, and I remember smelling this for the longest time and not knowing what it was. I just thought that was it, you know what I mean? And so diabetes has a certain smell to it, and she was talking about how the dog is more accurate than her pump was and knows immediately when her sugars go down or high and
wow,
take her thing. And I just thought that was so extraordinary. Maybe it hit home a little bit more just because of my son, but I just thought, how cool, you know, is that? That would just be very neat. But I think, you know, and I'm a dog person, but we have a cat as well. And there's just, you know, the biggest healing point when you're having the roughest day, you can't seem to get your thoughts straightened out, you know, because you're so worried, the law of attraction, I'm thinking what I'm thinking, I'm attracting that. If you just can't get everything in order, sit down and pet your cat. You know, that's the, again, they have such an energy that you can borrow and just soothe yourself with these animals. And I absolutely love the healing nature of animals and horses, especially. I worked with a group in South Dakota that was called the Sun Catchers Riding, Therapeutic Riding Academy. And they took mentally disabled people and put them on horses. And the symbiotic nature, the way that they just melded was amazing. And to watch these people's reactions and how they you know, were healing, and it helped move hips, you know, for those who were confined to a wheelchair or couldn't walk as well as, you know. And the whole love and healing relationship between a horse and these mentally disabled people was also amazing to watch. But yet it's one of those, of course, moments, isn't it? Of course, it's very healing to be around a horse.
They're very forgiving. They're very, and I just think that they just, there's no judgment. There's no judgment at all.
No, not in any of the animals. You know, again, living in such a flow. You know, we're the only species, humans, the only species that can come to a Y in the road, a fork in the road, and have to think about going right or left. You know, and then sometimes after we've made our decision, we go left, and then we still end up changing our minds, come back, go right. Animals just walk up and they just go. And again, it's such a perfect flow that it would really, you know.
It's harmony in nature.
Yeah, love it. Love it, love it.
Well, Bobby, you have a call from Florida.
No,
yes,
I don't want
you
it.
Have to take
no,
it. You no, have to take on. It. You will take it.
Hi, Florida. Oh, see, they don't want to talk to me now. they're like, not with that attitude. Hello?
No, you just did not do that.
Hello, Florida. Are you there? I really want to talk with you. Oh, man. Do you think I blew it?
I hope not.
Come on, we're just joking around. Florida, are you there? Maybe not so much.
Hi.
Oh, there you are. Can you hear me?
How you doing? Yes.
I'm doing well. How about you? How are you?
Oh, not so good.
Okay. Well, let me know what's up. What would you like to talk about? How can I help?
Oh, my relationship and college.
Okay, let's pick one. Let's talk about the relationship. What do you have going on there? What is it that you'd like to know?
Is it going to get any better, or is this headed for the battle train?
Well, you know, it hasn't been good for a while now, and the only thing that's keeping it together is your hope that somehow something will change. Or, you know, that happens in a lot of relationships, doesn't it? Where you just kind of hope things will suddenly be different, or, you know, maybe they will catch on, and then we end up doing things that we think the other person will catch up on. Maybe if I act upset, he'll know I'm upset and he'll ask me. But then when you act upset and he doesn't ask you, it just makes you more upset. Do you see what I mean? It's just an example, but we get stuck in that. And I think that this will be another relationship that you go through that will be over soon. But the thing is that you're having trouble because you're not finding anybody who deserves you. You know what I mean? You keep settling for relationships that come, you know? And you got to stop settling because you don't have enough of that self-worth to think, well, I can hold out and wait for somebody who really appreciates me. And so then you will end up with a relationship that's less than what you are. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and it makes it tough that way. So obviously what I would recommend is you have to develop that confidence, that self-worth, to know that you will and can attract somebody to you who's worth your while, who would treat you the way that you deserve to be treated. We all think we're so scared. You know, it's amazing the things it is that we'll put up with in a partner just so that we don't have to be alone or because we think that somebody isn't going to come our way. But I can see that for you, but it just feels like a relationship funk right now, that as soon as you get out of there, I mean, I see you the type of person who kind of laughs a lot and, you know, is kind of joyful, but hasn't been that way for a little while now. And I think you need to get back to that other person and then wait and let a guy prove himself. What, you know, there's a great song or something that's coming to my mind, like, that says, what have you done for me lately? I think you need to be more selfish. And I think the next relationship that comes along, you need to say, so what is it you're going to do for me? Like you're taking job applicants, right? What do you have to offer? What do you bring to the table? And find one that's going to, you know, treat you like you deserve, you know?
Okay.
Do you agree? You should be a queen.
It was so good.
What's that?
Hello?
I'm here.
I was saying that we've been together for like a year and a month, and during the first part of it, it was so wonderful, and lately he's becoming distant, and I don't know why. Like, every time we try to solve this problem, it comes to like a temporary stability, and then it goes back to square one. So I'm like, you know what? I don't know. Maybe it's about to jump us off this crazy train.
I think it is. You know, unfortunately, some people, when you get together in a relationship, and I'm not talking about you, but some people put their best foot forward, don't they? And it's not who the genuine part is. You, when you go into a relationship, you're very genuine. This is who I am. You put it out there. What you see is what you get. Not that you don't do things to, you know, we all do things to put our best foot forward, but some people really kind of do it to the point that they're not being genuine either. And I think that that's kind of how he was. And that's what happens in relationships. And then after a couple of months, they get tired. And then it isn't the way it used to be. But you're still trying, holding on to the way it was when you guys first met. There had to have been something there. Maybe we could get that back, you know. So then we're chasing after what was first there. And I think there has to come a time to realize that what was first there wasn't necessarily genuine. It wasn't real, you know, because that's not who he really was, which is a shame. But you'll get to recognize that in people more and more. And then I think that you know, it is time for you to get off the crazy train, start being selfish, and start being treated like a queen, you know.
That's true. Thank you so much.
All right, sweetheart. You're very welcome. Listen, best of luck, and thanks for calling in, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby.
You're welcome.
Steve, you have a call from South Dakota.
Thank you. Who's calling from South Dakota?
This is me.
Hello, me. What's your name?
May. M-A-Y.
May. Sorry, May. I thought you said, this is me.
No.
Hello, May. How can I help you?
Well, I'm just kind of down and kind of frustrated with work and so forth. I'm hoping to retire in a couple years, but right now things are just kind of bad. So maybe astrological or something. What do you have to, you know, suggestions that you might have for me? I don't know. My health is not good, and I don't know whether I'm just, you know, putting things out there, and that's how my life is becoming, or something. So I'm just checking to see what you see.
Okay,
well, what you can help me with.
Absolutely. I pulled a couple of cards for you, and the cards indicate that you will move on from the role you're in. But I don't feel that you will just leave this role and step completely into retirement. I feel as though there's a new awakening for you. There's a new direction. My guides are saying that really you've just lost enthusiasm for the work that you're doing now. It's not what you want to be doing. And I feel as though the organization or the group you're involved with is quite political. It just seems as though there's a lot that gets in the way of being passionate about doing the real work. And I know that's the way in many organizations, but it's as though you can't really do what you would really want to do there. But I see you taking a new direction, and I see that beginning this summer, actually. I don't feel that you'll be there 2 years. I feel that you'll be there a year. But I do feel that this summer you will start to move in a new direction that will enable you to leave this role in just over a year and go into a form of retirement, but still doing what you really enjoy. And that's what I see. How does that sound?
That sounds good. I am really tired of it, and I may be jinxing myself and putting myself in a bad light and so forth, and it's not good, you know. So
yeah, you've lost enthusiasm for it, but you're going to have a new beginning, and you need to stay positive. If you know, it's very interesting that health is very much associated with work for most people. We were talking about astrology a little earlier in the show, and Brenda asked me about health in a person's chart, the chart being a map of the psyche or the soul, and everything occurs first in the astral body before it downloads into the physical body. That's how we can look at a person's progress chart and see what's highly likely in the future. But the sixth house of health and employment is both, because there's a very strong connection between the sense of fulfillment and purpose a person derives from their work in the world and their state of well-being. So your health is suffering. I feel particularly your chest and throat seem to be troublesome.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Among other things.
Yeah. But you see, it's connected with the fact that you feel so down about your work, and you need to get excited about the future. You know, even if you do stay there 2 years, which I don't feel you will, it's not a long time. You know, you're moving towards the end of your path there, and you'll look forward to other things. You just need to stay positive.
Okay.
But as I said, it won't be 2 years.
It won't be 2 years?
No, I don't feel it'll be 2 years. I feel that you'll move on in a year, just over a year. Summer 2014.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you then.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. You bring up a good point. I think that, you know, attitude, we can choose. Maybe not all the time, but some of the time we can really choose. We can make a conscious decision about, are we going to fall into this, like, you know, real negativity, or can we go forward and think positive? And, you know, it's interesting to do an experiment. I remember trying that and thinking, well, you know, I'm going to think positive all day long, this and that, not like nutty new age positive, but the positive, like thinking of things that, you know, this is going to turn out right and this and that. And it kind of opens doors for you instead of closing the doors. Don't you agree?
I do. And I just know that we have to stay positive, even in the toughest situations, because getting down about things just makes them worse.
And it doesn't change anything. It really doesn't change anything. I mean, you still, the next day, you'll probably still be in the situation, but you can choose if you want to be miserable with it or not.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sometimes you don't want to hear that, but it's,
well, we say that's that thoughts and feelings mold the astral body.
No, thoughts and words are action.
Yeah. They mold the spirit, and the way that the spirit is molded has a big impact because it downloads. to the physical plane. So it's important to stay positive, upbeat about things.
You two are nuts. I'm sorry.
Are we nuts?
Yeah, you two are nuts.
Yeah, you're crazy as a nutball.
Just think of it. We're ruled by Saturn, too. I don't think that Saturn's the most positive planet out there, but push
it
through
it. It's a learning. It's a deep, intense, internalizing learning planet. Hard learning. Well, the stuff we're supposed to get. I'm all for going there.
To Saturn?
Yeah. You know, I wanted to bring up what your guest was talking about also. Just saying. I'm sorry to take over.
No, go ahead.
I'm crazy good.
I know you.
I she's talking about horses and such, and I love horses. I love riding horse I love. And when I was in Alaska, I lived in Alaska long ago, and there were these Arabian horses on federal government that this idiot owned, whatever. Anyway, I was on bareback. Now, I wasn't a perfect rider. It wasn't like I was professional, and I was a little bit angry because I got on this horse bareback. And these horses are just beautiful. And it was like just out of a movie. But I was stressed out because I, first of all, didn't feel I could handle it. That horse picked up on that right away, obviously.
But oh, yeah, you're toast when that happens.
Yes, exactly. Toast. And I absolutely know, because every time, like I've been at the ranch in Wyoming with my sister's friends, they have their own horses and you just go ride. It's like bonanza. You're out there. It's like, and the same thing happened. I got a little bit freaked out, doubted myself. I hadn't been riding for a while. And good enough, that horse started hauling really fast on me. And I wasn't ready because it picked up on my energy. I know that is true. And I calmed down, and then everything was fine. It's interesting. Horses are so killing.
It was interesting what she said about animals living in the moment. We never think about that, but it really is true that their whole world is.
That's right. They are. Equatoli. They have one up on Equatoli. Talking about the power of now. I mean.
Oh right, yeah.
Right. They are in the power of now, and they will save other, you know, now lately too, where the past year I've been noticing, oddly enough, different types of animals, I think I've brought this up before, have been saving other animals that you would think that they would not like, you know, they don't get along with. They've shown, I've been seeing some of these things on YouTube past year, like suddenly this dog, you know, just an oddity where it's almost like they're collectively coming together faster than us to be, you know.
Well, you're a dolphin. You know, you love dolphins. Have you read the latest on dolphins, the dolphin research, that dolphins have they have names for each other? And
yes, I have. As a matter of fact, and that, see, I always think dolphins are humans in the water.
Oh, they absolutely are. I mean, just to watch them, they're so intelligent. And now to find out, they have a very complex language.
Yeah,
complex.
So family oriented too. I mean, they're with their aunts, their uncles, their cousins. That's why is don't go to SeaWorld. Stay away. I'm just because they shouldn't be taken away from their family. They're so much into their family clan. You know, it's like the mafia. And you shouldn't. They shouldn't. They can find them miles and miles away when they're separated. Like by choice separated, but
well, they say that their squeaks can carry underwater for a couple miles.
Yes, they fast. I just have always loved. I love them, and they always kind of flip around when I'm on the beach, just at the time that there's that I need. It's almost like they can feel it, you know.
You need some encouragement.
Yeah, I can understand. I mean, I know they're like humans in water. I've always saw them as humans in water. I was a little girl. It's pretty cool.
Well, they've even been portrayed the Atlanteans and the dolphins and swimming with the dolphins. Oh, you know what? We've got a caller. We've got a live one for you, Maureen, from Pennsylvania.
A live one. Oh, yeah. I bet I know who this is. Hi, live one from I think I know who this is. Live one from Pennsylvania. Hello.
Hello, Maureen.
Hi. Who's this?
How are you? This is Penny.
Hi, Penny. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I was wondering, I had my divorce hearing Friday, and there was a whole lot of stuff that I'm not unsure of exactly that was going on.
Okay.
And my lawyer had advised me to be careful of my husband coming back to retaliate.
Okay. So... you're wondering if, well, you know, that's interesting. You just said something interesting, though, about your attorney mentioned that to you. But did your attorney try to explain to you what was going on maybe as well? Because I know it can be kind of confusing. So
she didn't have time to explain it to me yet, but I know there's a whole bunch of legality around him being able to testify or present evidence because he has denied everything that he's been told to do.
Right. And he's not going to change anytime soon. I can see that. But you know, this is what I'm getting. Let's put it this way. In the next 7 weeks, I'm looking at, I could be off on my timing. You know exactly where you are, and it's fantastic. You feel like you have control of your life. And I see your husband still being a mess. Wow. But that doesn't matter. I do feel that I see a choice you're going to have. And other people would say, don't do that. That's not the right way to go. And I say, do it. I'm not sure how this will be because it may be even against, like you said, you don't understand what's all going on, right? But it may also be against what you say you have a woman attorney, yes?
Yes, I have a woman attorney.
Okay, and I don't want to say she's a bad attorney, but I do feel that she might, in the next coming weeks, she looks like she may be kind of emotionally bouncing around, maybe because of personal issues. I'm not clear on why, but I feel that you'll have like I said, and people may not be supportive about some choice you have, an option, but I feel that you're seeing things very emotionally, very realistic, and I'm not clear, but this is going to be very favorable for you. I feel that you're right. Listen to your inner voice. There is something going on, but I don't feel that. I feel that, like I said, you cannot control your husband's character, obviously. But I see this being favorable for you, and I even see a new car. Maybe it's so silly as it may sound, but a new car. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that in because it's true. I mean, I just see that.
Because my car is shutting off going down the road. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Well, you're gonna be in a position. You're gonna be in a good position to have, and you'll be feeling really good. And there's your ex-husband, and he has not changed, and he can carry on all he wants. I see an end to this, and I feel though that it will be very interesting. Like I said, people may not say what you've decided. I wish I could tell you directly, Penny, what I'm getting, word for word. I mean, articulate it. But whatever it is, the choice that you'll make will be one of like such where other people say, that's silly, don't do that, if that helps. And it's going to be soon. So, like I said, use your own intuition on this one more so than even the attorney. There's something because that I feel your choice will be, it'll be very well favorable for you. And it'll be over. A new car, too.
Finally.
Yeah, you deserve it. You deserve it. And then you'll have all sorts of great things going on because you're making a decision big time about what direction where you want to go in life. It's great.
Yeah.
Deserving.
Because everything is not settled on what they're agreeing to. Everyone's still arguing over what's marital assets. I mean, nothing's clear. And when I testified, his lawyer had asked me, I said, you're not going to buy a brand new set of tires before you buy a car and hope that they fit.
You know, this is why, for some reason, I feel that there's some other choice about how to deal with this. And I feel this has to do with you being part of that and not really the attorney. The attorney's missing something here, and I'm like I said, I don't feel the attorney's bad, but I just see in a week or two, she's emotionally all over the place, and I feel maybe because of personal things, but nevertheless, I feel that you're seeing things realistically, and for whatever reasons, I feel that you're going to be able to, you know, write down on paper something. It might be a good idea, Penny, to write something on paper about how. You know, simplify it. I mean, that is hard for me to write things. Simplify whatever it is that you're confused about. Simplify it, and then on your terms. And then I really feel people will go, that's not going to help. That's not going to do anything. I don't feel it's almost like they'll see you as like that's a dream, and I do not feel that that is a dream. I feel that you're going to. There's a choice at hand here coming up. That's why I'm saying go the way that you feel is right, not the way everybody else is advising you. And I see this ending, and also I feel that it's going to be favorable for you. And I see your husband still is a mess. Jeez, He's not verbally very nice at all. And
you don't see him wanting to do me any harm, like after the decision is made.
I don't see that. I see him more not in the harm in the physical way. I see him just a mess in a verbally abusive type of way. His energy that way. And you know what? So what? You have a car. He moves on. I mean, I do see it moving forward, and he'll be a mess. I feel that you're gonna get exactly. It's gonna be okay. I really feel, but you're gonna have to partake in this more so than just the attorney. And like I feel it's coming to an end. But I feel that this is your time now. You know, the attorney should know a little bit more about what's not understandable. It looks really positive. So. You're searching for a deeper meaning how to deal with this anyway, but I see a new car. I see a new car around you too. That's a very good sign. Things are going as they should, and you're going to be getting as you should, and reasonably so, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the decision's actually down to the master because since there's so much arguing going, well, he's not admitting to anything, and it's basically in the master's court what he decides.
Oh, okay. Am I, you know, that might just be, you know, so this is going, whatever reason, I don't feel it's your attorney so much is going to do right, but it might have to do with things going into a master. I understand what you're saying. I feel like it within 7 weeks, everything will be done, and I see you on top of it.
Yes, he did say you want to end this by April. They had X amount of days, 30, 60 days or something. To end this, but there's also still arguments out there, and they overheard things, and that's when she had warned me to watch out, get a safety plan and all this other stuff. I just wanted to confirm that if he was or wasn't.
You know what? He could try all he wants. Like I said, in the end result I see is you are going to be in the best place, or the ideal place you want. I still feel and see him as a mess. It doesn't really matter what he wants. It's how I see that you're going to attain what is necessary. He can't be Mr. All That and all that. And either the attorney saying that, this is up to you, Penny. You know what? Like I said, this is a lot about up to you taking a little bit more of the initiative or being more involved. I'm not saying you're not right now, but there's something else coming your way. You have a choice. Like I said, there's an opening, a window opening, like real soon. And I feel that you're going to come out just great. So whatever he's doing or not, it's crazy making. Who cares? You need to get what you are deserving of. And I feel there's going to be something being reached, but it's because of you just making it happen. I know it sounds off the wall, but that's what I'm getting.
Yeah, there was a few things that we had to get out on stand that needed to be heard, not just pushed under the table.
Right.
All determining factors of why I stayed and all the other stuff.
Right. Just go on your own, in your own way, not what everybody's saying how you should do it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
fearless and do what you need to do, express or talk, whatever it is. That's where I see that will bring the best results for you, definitely.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, thanks, Penny, and I wish you well. And I see good things. A car. Okay, a new car. That's a great
thing. Alrighty.
Okay, thanks, Penny. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That was great, Maureen. Who's the predictive psychic now?
You know what? I tell people my times have been off a year, but the same months are exact.
The thing about the car was pretty awesome, I have to tell you honestly.
Well, you know, it's just I get that in my head, and there I want a car. And
Your Pisces radar is out there, right?
The rising Pisces and the...
Okay, everybody, we still have time to take your calls, a couple more calls, or even some questions from chat. I'm going to give the number out again. And please be aware that each call is placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Be clear and direct, and only one question per call, 724-444-4851. Who am I going to pick on now? Bobby, are you awake? No. Are you listening?
Shh, I'm sleeping. Shh.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
Of course I'm awake. What's up?
Is it your show next?
It is my show next. Do we? You want to talk a little bit about?
Let's talk a little bit about it. We can get people excited. I mean,
well, you know, a couple of weeks back, we'd talked with a young lady. Her name was Denisa, and she was the producer director of this show called Awaken Soul to Soul. Remember, we had talked
right,
about
yes.
virtually sitting with the mystic sage. Right, they have these sages, and the cameras on them. From what I understand, I haven't seen the movie yet, but they and then you just stare, and you have this. This amazing experience, you know, it's supposed to just hugely make a shift in your soul again with the name of the title. Well, one of the people there's many different people who are featured in this, and one of the people who are featured is called Bonnie Saratore, and she is a master shaman. She's also a natural born intuitive, and she is in this film, one of the ones who is providing space for people to change. And we're going to have her on the show. So first we talked with the director producer about the movie and where she was trying to come from and what she was trying to achieve. And now we're going to actually talk to a shaman who was in the film and kind of from her perspective, what it is that she was putting out there, maybe some of the experiences that she was going through. And what also she's hoping that everybody will get out of this as well. But she's pretty remarkable. Again, her name is Bonnie Saratore, and she
that sounds really good.
She's very I don't want to say worldly, but you know that feeling that comes up with just very wisdom, very filled that I can feel from her. And she teaches core emotional clearings, and you know, by changing your past and changing the future and that type of thing. She just puts on so much in stopping old people's patterns, much like what we're all into. I just think it's interesting to get her perspective on things as well. So that'll be coming up next week. We'll talk about the film, and then we'll talk about her books and some of her intensive trainings and such.
What about you, Bobby? When are you going to write your book?
You know, people keep asking. My argument still is, until it changes, that I don't have anything new to say. It's all been said so eloquently, and I say it in my way, but it's all been said, you know. And there's so many people who know how to really, really put it down into words and have done so already. So I don't know what kind of a book I would write along those lines, you know. I don't know.
Well, there's always a perspective that somebody hasn't heard, and then I feel that sometimes these truths need to be literally pounded into us, because
they
a
do.
Lot of times we're in denial, like the whole book The Secret. That's something we all knew. We knew that in the 70s. Well, I'm dating myself, but that's something we all knew. But when it came back around, it was like, oh wow, this is just amazing, and you know, but it comes around in cycles. It's a universal truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And many people speak it. There's so many thousands of books that are out there, and I guess I didn't want to really add to the clutter. You know, when I speak, it all comes out just new and fresh and how it is, but it's all, again, it's all words and things that have been said before. And sometimes it's not even just my perspective, it's source perspective. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I have my own viewpoints on what is said or the types of readings, you know, when we're doing one of our galleries at Salon Leona. You know, the information that comes out is brand new, isn't it, for each person, even if they've been there.
I think with all of us, like when we're reading when we're giving readings, like all of us, I can speak for all of us. I mean, stuff just comes right out of our lips. And it's just automatic because we've been doing it for so long. It just kind of, we get in that zone and it just comes, we just speak. We just open our mouth and just start speaking, you know, about it.
Right.
And the readings, the contacting, you know, those loved ones from the other side.
So I guess I don't feel I have anything that's groundbreaking, you know, that would provide.
Yeah, there's nothing new.
Service.
Huh? Nothing new, Bobby.
Nothing new. It's all old stuff. Thousands of years.
Oh, I've got to. You know what? I'm gonna have to take this question from chat.
I'm still talking. Whatever. Okay, fine.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to cut you off. Okay, well, the question from chat is from Rose. She wants to know, will I have an exciting weekend or one of more spiritual growth and mastering the art of patience? Now, that's a pretty heavy question. Let's take a look here. Let's take a peek into what's going to happen. I'm seeing that anything other than what's happening now in your life, because I see a lot of stress around you. I see a lot of things you're worried about. Some of the things you're imagining, some of the things are legitimate, work-wise, even finance-wise. Are you going to be able to put this behind you and get in a better space? It looks like a friend will kind of force you to do that. Like say, you know what, you've got to take that, get that off your mind. It's time to just do something for you. Get out there. And I see, Rose, I see you being very free. It looks like you're gonna, you might even go out in nature, go to a park or something like that. That's going to give you a fresher view of, you know, get you out of your box, the stress ball box. And then on Monday, when you go back into your environment, which has caused you stress, it looks like you, it's not going to bother you as much. And even some of these things, you know, on the emotional level that you've been, you know, kind of, you know, really recycling over and over again, just aren't going to be that important. So to answer your question, I feel that patience is part of it, but a bigger part of it for this weekend is going to be letting go of some of these things that really don't matter. I mean, you're working yourself up and it's not changing anything. Okay? All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. I want to thank Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And a big thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having us.
thanks for inviting us to the show.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, okay. Thanks for being there and supporting, and everybody out in the chat or listen to the show, thank you for being out there and supporting us. We do this show basically to bring enlightenment and just kind of get people, you know, to know that there's more things out there than just what you see. So good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye, Brenda. Bye, Steve. Bye, Bobby.
Good night.
Goodbye, chat room.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.